It's easy to see that there's a lot of confusion in our world today. There's a lot of confusion about love, confusion about truth, confusion about right and wrong, about justice, about mercy. But perhaps one of the most fundamental areas of confusion has to do with the roles of men and women in day-to-day life. We know that here in our state and in many states in the Union, the majority of voters have indicated the belief that it's very natural for men to marry each other and women to marry each other. All kinds of different issues surrounding gender and sexuality are in the public forum. So there's a great deal of confusion about gender and God's great gift of sexuality, masculinity and femininity. I've even read fairly recently that some are claiming that gender itself is a social construct. It's something that human beings came up with. Well, the church takes such a firm stance on this issue, not because it feels like it has to legislate what people can do behind closed doors, but it takes such a firm stance because it firmly believes that God created men and women in a particular design that is beautiful and that is good, and that masculinity and femininity play complementary roles in this design. And so to skew the beauty of God's design is not what we want to do. As Christians in this world, we want to stand up for and defend what God has designed to be beautiful and good. Today is the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, and so it's a great opportunity for us to reflect on the very nature of God. And we can look at God in many different ways, but let's focus on two particular perspectives. The first is God in himself, God as a Trinity. The second would be God in relation to humanity and all of creation. So when we consider what God does in the world, we don't attribute specific deeds to specific persons of the Trinity. So we don't say God the Father created the world while the Son and the Spirit sort of sat aside. No. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created the world. Another example, when we're forgiven of our sins, it's not that, you know, Jesus forgives our sins while the Father and the Holy Spirit are in the next room playing cards. No, all three of them act as a unified Godhead in its interaction with us in the world and with all of creation. But when we consider God in his essence, that's where the Trinity comes into play, the roles of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we can think of, if we get beyond the names, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we get to the essence of their roles. The Father is the one who loves. He gives love to the Son. The Son is the one who receives love from the Father. And their love is so perfect and strong and true that it constitutes, if you will, that third person, the Holy Spirit, love itself. So we have the one who gives love, the one who receives love, and love itself. God himself is a dynamic of love. There's no separation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in being three persons in one God, he reveals to us that God's very essence is a dynamic of gift and reception of love. This is the great mystery of the Holy Trinity. And so in the Trinity, we see dimensions of masculinity and femininity as God has designed them. Now, some people might squirm at that, but that's okay, because this is how God designed. I mean, God didn't make himself. God has always been. But he teaches us through who he is, that there is this this dimension of receptivity, femininity, receptiveness, and the dimension of masculinity, of giving, what I might call donativity. It has to do with giving. The Father gives himself completely to the Son, and the Son receives the gift completely of the Father. It's this wonderful and beautiful mystery. But also in the dimension of God as a unified whole, setting aside our consideration of the Trinity for a moment, God as God also demonstrates both aspects, masculinity and femininity. Because while God is powerful and strong and firm, he is also so merciful and loving and gentle and nurturing, like a mother. And so both aspects are present in the mystery of the living God. Now, of course, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're striving to become more and more godly, more and more like God, more and more holy. And I think the church has done a good job in the last couple of decades at emphasizing the need to understand and experience how we are loved. In a sense, you could say that the church has emphasized that feminine dimension, that we must understand that God loves us so tenderly and so perfectly, so deeply, beyond our imagining. If we don't understand that we are loved, how can we love? If we haven't received God's love, how can we share it? So very fundamental to our Christian life is that feminine dimension, knowing that we are loved, receiving that love in the very depths of our heart. But perhaps the church has failed in the last couple of decades to also bring that masculine dimension into the spiritual life. Now, I'm sort of painting in broad strokes here. We can't apply all of this in an absolute sense to every situation. But at the same time, God, in showing us that there is masculinity and femininity involved in the dynamic of love, he shows us that we can't focus too much on one or the other. Maybe at some point in history there was an overemphasis on the masculine dimension. I don't know. But I do know that sometimes in this day and age, men may feel estranged from the church because of this emphasis on the feminine, that receptiveness. They might feel like there's no place for a tough, manly, and strong, and brave, and courageous man in the church, that there's all this emphasis on being nurturing and kind, merciful, and loving. Now, of course, men are supposed to be merciful and loving. It's not this dichotomy where it's separated. You have to only be merciful and loving. You can't be strong and courageous. No. No. Both of them are complementary roles. I was thinking, you know, apart from the hierarchy of the church, you look around in the pews, you look around at who is employed by the church, it's mostly women. There's the majority of, I would say, practicing Catholics and those who are working in the church are women. And, you know, the gift of women is wonderful for the church. But the men in the church also have to find a place and know that there is, of course, a place for that strength, for that courage, and for the masculine dimension, which ultimately ends up in gift. The Father gives himself to the church. He gives himself to the Son. He lays down his life. God lays down his life for us. So, I would encourage a rediscovery of the complementarity of the roles of the sexes in the church, not only in households, but also in that spiritual dimension, St. Paul talks about, you know, the husband being the head of the household and the wife receiving that love and the order of the house and all of that. He's not just talking about practical things there, housekeeping. He's talking about a spiritual sense as well. We need good, strong leaders, not only in the church, but in every household, in every relationship. And sometimes we kind of shy away from that because we were often raised to think that leadership is the best. If you're a leader, it's good. If you're a follower, it's not as good. But that's not really true. Both roles are needed. For example, in the essence of the Trinity, if there's one who receives, you know, whose role is to receive love, but there's no one to give it, then that love is frustrated. Likewise, if there's one who is so eager to give love and there's no one to receive love, that love is likewise frustrated. And so we have this beautiful complementarity. When we are the men and women that God created us to be, then we have these good and healthy and holy relationships. And you and I can be for the world a reminder that gender is not arbitrary. Gender is not something that men and women came up with, human beings, invented one day. But this is part of God's design, his beautiful design for the world. And we can help to remind the world of that truth.